Hi, I'm Adriana.
And I'm John, and this is Kanye Conversations. So tonight, we're going to do some more song analysis from very different Kanye eras. Adriana's going to be looking at a song from The College Dropout, and I'm going to be doing a song from The Life of Pablo. So, Adriana, take it away.
Awesome. I'm so excited to talk about this one. I'm going to be doing Breathe In, Breathe Out. Yeah, this is super awesome. I love The College Dropout. Like, I feel like this is Kanye's, like, perfect 10 album. Like, I love Graduation. That's, like, my favorite one, but I think I can recognize that one not as, like, perfect, but I don't know. I will never be unconvinced that this album is not flawless. And so, Breathe In, Breathe Out is really cool. It's track 13 off of 21, and I don't think this one was ever a single or anything. So, I don't know. So, if you've never heard this before, gosh, it's so good. And so, it features Ludacris. I thought it was DMX for, like, the longest time. I feel like they sound, like, exactly the same. So, I was pretty surprised that it was Ludacris. But I kind of wanted to do this, like, the way I analyze it just a little bit differently. I kind of wanted to, like, I wanted to, like, go into, like, the composition of the song and not necessarily talk about the lyrics. Like, I definitely will, but, like, kind of, like, stories involved in it. So, I'm excited.
All right. It's a great song.
Yeah. So, it samples a song by Jackie Moore, which came out in 1973. It's one of, like, it's, like, a soul sample. And so, the song is called Precious, Precious, and I actually went on YouTube and recorded a little bit.
Wow.
So, yeah. This is the song that Kanye samples. So the fact that Kanye heard this and then, like, changed it into Breathe In, Breathe Out is just, like, so impressive to
me.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Sounds so cool.
It's amazing how I got to Breathe In, Breathe Out from that.
Yeah. So, I really like this song in particular. I was kind of surprised. Apparently, this isn't, like, one of the more liked songs off of College Dropout. And so, I've always, like, really liked it. Like, my opinion's never been influenced by, like, oh, this is a bad song. So, I don't know. If you have that opinion, like, you've been told, like, oh, Breathe In, Breathe Out's, like, not that great, let me dispel that right here, because I think it's excellent. It's so silly. It's really fun. It's super clever. And, like, this is Kanye's, like, first album. And so, like, this is the album that I think of when I think of, like, old Kanye. Like, he's really funny, he's confident, and he's broke, which is so fun to hear him rapping about, like, oh man, I spent all my money and I'm broke again. So funny. Yeah, this song is super overshadowed, I think. I think it's so underrated. I don't know if it's Kanye's, like, most underrated song, but it might be it. I don't know.
And it just tells you, like, how good the rest of the album is if this song is underrated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then this song is actually, like, fundamental into Kanye West's story. Like, it plays an irreplaceable role. Because of this song, like, the rest of College Dropout was able to be funded.
Wow.
I was, like, so surprised by that, because apparently there was, like, a beef going on between, like, Def Jam and Rockefeller, which were the two sources of, like, funding for the album. And so because they were, like, at a stalemate, like, the funding just wasn't going to Kanye. And so, like, this song was played for record executives to get more funding, and they thought it was really good. And so, wow, thank you. 11 masterpieces later, which is apparently a hot take according to Jason.
Wow.
He's like, Jason. I know, Jason's like, I have, like, Kanye's like four classics, and I'm like, debatable. Well, try to have Jason on the show. He's another really good friend who loves Kanye. Yeah, so this is really cool. And so I actually found a quote from Consequence, who is one of the producers of The College Dropout. And so I'd love to just read it, like, straight from his words. So this is Consequence speaking. He always had a hang up about releasing Breathe In, Breathe Out. Breathe In, Breathe Out was a dope hip-hop record, but it didn't serve a conceptual purpose. But when you think of records such as Family Business, Never Let Me Down, and Spaceship, I don't think you'd say Breathe In, Breathe Out would be on that track list. I think he kept it in there because it was one of the first records he had, and it was sentimental to him. And, yeah, so that's what Consequence said about it. And so I thought that made so much sense, because, like, Kanye really does, like, talk about, like, huge themes on this album and that, like, set him apart from everybody else. But, like, it's always so fun to have a song that's just, like, I would crank up really loud. And I don't know how many times I've, like, been in that car and just, like, breathe and breathe. It's one of my favorite songs to play. It's not packed with, like, a ton of meaning. It's not, like, socially conscious. It's not trying to be anything other than... fun. Yeah,
it was a banger I'd always play, like, before football games and stuff in my headphones for sure.
Yeah, so good. I love that Kanye can do everything. He's not just one thing. And it's also full of, like, really cool allusions that I'd love to explain. And I just love that this is, like, the old Kanye before all the fame. It's, like, really such a treasure. So I'm so excited to do it. Okay, so let's play Breathe In, Breathe Out. So I noticed that it censors Desert Eagle, which is, like, exactly what I wanted to talk about. So just, like, that's what he says. So we begin with Ludacris. He's, like, rapping in I think, like, a DMX style. I don't know, like, the timeline or anything, but, like, if you listen to a DMX song, like, it sounds the exact same. And he's just rapping about having a nice car, a nice watch, and, like, people going wild because of it. And on top of that, he's, like, really hard. Like, he's going to pull out a Desert Eagle if you start acting up. And so, and I consulted a gun expert, John.
Is that Jesus?
Yeah, it is Jesus. It is my father. My brilliant and wonderful father, so.
Thank you so much, Dad. Can you please tell me the characteristics of a Desert Eagle?
Comes in .357, .44 Magnum, and .50 caliber. Most people do not like them because they're heavy. They're basically a large frame 45 or 1911 character handgun that has a magazine and a slide, but it, like, again, it's super heavy and most people don't like them.
And if somebody were to act up and you were to pull one out,
well, it would be impressive because that thing is huge. It's like showing them a brick. So, yeah, no, it would scare them. If you ever want to see a funny movie, just go see or type YouTube, point this gun at 209 in a threatening manner, and that's a Desert Eagle.
Is that 50 RoboCop? Caliber.
RoboCop, yeah, the original one.
And Clint Eastwood used this gun?
Nope. He used two of them. He used the Smith & Wesson Model 29 with the 6.5-inch barrel. That's the black steel revolver that he uses. And then in Sudden Impact, he uses the 44 Auto Mag. That's the one I like. They're expensive. They're about $3,000, $4,000 if you can find one. They were made by AMT, which is here in Alhambra, but they don't make them anymore. There's a new company making them now, and they're going to be about $3,000 or $4,000, but they fixed them. So, and if anybody ever wants to get a good one, that's the one to get.
Nice. Well, when I get my PhD, I'll buy you all the guns you want, Dad.
Okay, Mama, thank you.
All right, thank you, Dad.
Yeah. So that was my father. I like him a lot, and don't mess. Also, you've probably already seen this gun. It's the gun that Deadpool uses. Have you seen any of the Deadpool movies?
I have not, but I've actually shot a Desert Eagle before.
You have?
My uncle has one.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's pretty. I think I shot it when I was probably like 12 or 13 or something.
Dang.
It was pretty strong though, from what I remember.
Wow, that's awesome. Oh, so cool. And I think that this song is, like, I don't know, it just fits so perfectly with the theme, like, to include, like, a Desert Eagle. Kind of ridiculous, because they're huge. Like, yeah. Desert Eagles, in comparison to other guns, are big. So it's, like, I don't know.
It's not something you'd be regularly carrying around.
Exactly. It's, like, you're definitely...
It's like hunting grizzly bears and stuff.
Yeah, it's, like, you got your big watch. You got your Desert Eagle. It's just so fun. It's outrageous. So I love it. And then this next part is probably, like, one of the more playful moments on The College Dropout. It's just Kanye, like, having fun.
Now
Iconic verse, for sure.
Good. Yeah. It's just so self-aware. I just love how it starts like, golly, more of that ice rap.
He says, golly. Have you ever heard that in a rap song before?
No. Like, I say golly. Like, Kanye West doesn't say golly.
So wholesome.
He's so in tune with culture. Like, apologizing to Mos Def and Quiley Quiley. Never.
Where do you pronounce it? Quiley or Quaylee? He put him on songs with Jay-Z.
Ah, there we go. Last call. So good. So they're like two socially conscious rappers, and they like only have one album. I looked up their most popular one, and it's called Definition. So if you wanted to listen to it, Definition. That's the song. And then Ghana and Mali are two of Africa's more like stable democracies. So like, if you were to get a diamond from Africa, supporting one of those would be, like, better. So, Kanye definitely does have the capacity to rap about, like, social issues, for sure. But he also has, like, the capacity to just rap about, like,
fun stuff.
Exactly. And so, yeah, I know you were talking about, like, Diamonds from Sierra Leone, which is a really good one. And then on this album, like, All Falls Down is really meaningful. Jesus Walks is incredibly meaningful. And I think this song and All Falls Down kind of touch on, like, the same things. Just, like, I feel like it's interesting because, like, Breathe In, Breathe Out comes later on this album. Like, All Falls Down is, like, one of the first songs. Mm-hmm. And so it's, like, I don't know. I just really love it. It's so complete to me.
Because I really like that verse where he's, like, if I rapped, I'd say something significant, but then I'm rapping about all these different things. Mm-hmm. I love the line, though. It's still all about the Benjamin, big face hunnids, or whatever other synonyms. Yes. I love that line so much.
Me too. so good. And then, okay, this next line that I'm going to talk about, I used to think was, like, so ridiculous, but I think I've lightened up a lot, and I'm just like, it's hilarious. Like, oh my gosh, it's one of, like, I think one of Kanye's greatest lines of all time, and it's censored, but like, use your imagination to see like what it says to its full. It's so good.
Genius.
Yes. And like, I've always had a PhD. Like, that's so good. It's so Kanye. Like, actually, when I was writing this, I put, I had a professor named Dr. Rocklin, but, like,
oh, now you have one.
Yeah. John's taking Dr. Rocklin. And so Rocklin would always ask, like, what does this art do? Like, and I don't know. It's like, what's, like, the function of this? So what is, I've always had a PhD do. And, like, what I think that does is it like, completely like ties together all of his like school albums, like Late Registration, College Dropout, Graduation. Like, he didn't need college, he always had a PhD. And like, I wanted to talk about the fact that Kanye has an honorary doctorate now. Did you know that?
Yeah,
Dr. West. So I actually have a video, a small, it's like 50 seconds of just like Kanye's like speech when he like got his honorary doctorate. Like, did you know, listener, Kanye's actually a doctor? I don't know. I just love this man.
A doctorate at the Art Institute of Chicago. When I was giving a lecture at Oxford, I brought up this school because when I went on that mission to create in other spaces, apparel, film, performance, it would have been easier if I could have said I had a degree at the Art Institute of Chicago. Thank you.
Dr. West. Yeah, Dr. West. I just love that. I think that means so much because, like, that's what Godonda wanted, you know? Mm. Like, go to school, get your doctorate. And I'm like, wow. It's just so beautiful. And so, yeah, I was really interested in, like, Kanye's, like, college career and stuff. So, I love that he mentioned Oxford because, like, goodness, I have something that's going to connect you, me, C.S. Lewis, and Kanye.
What is it?
We're all English majors.
Was he an English major?
Kanye West was an English major.
Wow. I'm good.
Yes. And so, I had some, like, it wasn't Audible, but it was, like, Amazon had, like, some, like, free ebook thing, like, a long time ago. And so I actually have a copy of one of Donda West's books called, Raising Kanye on, like, a PDF. So, like, I took a screenshot of page 119 of the book. So, this is Donda talking about Kanye West as an English major. Fine, I said to myself, and then to him, you can go to Chicago State University. He'd still be in college, the tuition was already much cheaper, and I got a 50% discount as an employee. Chicago State it was. Kanye enrolled the very next semester. He finished the semester and didn't do too badly. He'd become an English major, partly because he liked words, or at least he liked rapping. Liked writing raps with them, and partly because he didn't have to stand in long lines to get registered. Nice. Yeah, I was chair of the English department. It was nothing for me to select the required courses, fill out his registration form, and sign it. No big deal. As long as he showed up for the classes and did his work, I really didn't mind saving him the drudgery of a system that was a little less than efficient. The second semester, he was at Chicago State. His sophomore year, a couple of friends and colleagues reluctantly reported to me that Kanye was always either in music rooms, always in the student union, not the classroom. So, yeah, I actually, like, reread some of it over winter break, and, gosh, it's just so fun that he was an English major.
Yeah.
Like, the command of the English language.
It'd be so cool to have him in classes. Like, I wonder what he was just like as a college student. If, like, people were like, this guy's pretty crazy, like, even back in the day.
Probably. Oh, I just love that. I wonder if, like, I don't know. Because he has that quote where he's like, I don't read books, but, like, I think that's such a lie. I think he's just trolling. Like, I want to see how Kanye West, like, sees the world and, like, sees literature. But, yeah. So, this next part of the song is just classic Kanye production where he'll, like, stop the beat and just rap. Mm. And I really love when he does that. Like, you know, he does that on St. Pablo when, like, he stops and he's like, most men couldn't balance a checkbook, talking about ice and how my neck looks. Like, you would think, like, people would, I don't know, hide that kind of lyric with like really heavy production, but Kanye like stops and just like no listen. Like listen. And I just think that's like incredibly profound and brave and so cool. So yeah, I'm gonna play the part. I love that line. It's like one of my favorites. On like, whatever comes first, I'm prepared for the worst. Whatever comes second, I'll be there with my weapon. Genius. Yeah, I just adore that. Like, yeah. So basically, like, I just wanted to spotlight Breathe In, Breathe Out because it comes, yeah, just from my appreciation of the fun Kanye West. And I know that this song is really special in his story. And yeah, I think that it opened up the door for other songs like All Falls Down, Jesus Walks, and like so many incredible songs that I adore. So I think Breathe In is really special. And now I'm so excited to hear you talk about No More Parties in LA.
All right. Well.
Yeah, of course.
So thank you for the analysis, Adriana. Yeah, I love that song so much. It's definitely really underrated. Like most people, I feel like I haven't had a conversation about Breathe In, Breathe Out with. Mm. Besides like maybe you or Jason. So that was really good.
Thank you.
So today, I'm going to be talking about No More Parties in L.A., and I've been listening to Life of Pablo more and more, like, it's definitely grown on me, for sure, and I think part of it is, like, people telling me it's a better album, and me, like, giving it more of a chance, I guess, but, like, I listened to St. Pablo, and it was just, like, reading along in Genius with the lyrics and stuff, and I was like, he's still got it. He's still so good, and that's something I'll touch on in the song. But the song starts off with a really good soul sample. Kanye didn't make the sample. Like, he's not the one who chopped it up or anything. It was someone, I forgot who else, I don't know, someone who makes, like, similar soul samples. But anyway, it was a very Kanye-esque beat that he was rapping over. And then we have Kanye and Kendrick Lamar. Woo! I don't think Kanye and Kendrick have any other songs or any other work together.
I don't think so.
No, the closest they get is Kanye on the song Forever with, like, Lil Wayne and Drake and Eminem. Kendrick's not on it, but I feel like that's a bit.
The crossover,
That song was amazing, by the way. But anyways, okay. Two No More Parties in L.A. So the first thing I really appreciate about this song is, like, actually living in L.A. And you kind of get, you know what he's talking about. Yeah. So, like, multiple, so in the beginning he says Friday nights trying to make it into the city. And then later on he says, I've been thinking every day they need to put up some barricades. On Mulholland Drive they need to put up some barricades. And, like, if you've ever been on Mulholland Drive, so in the summer I drive a work van the last two summers. And it's, like, really big and there's a lot of flooring in the back and, like, kind of tough to drive, and like I drive in Mulholland a lot because of all the nice houses and stuff, and like it's a really sketchy road, like they really do need to put up some barricades. And then he talks about I'd rather take the 405, and like people don't know what the 405 is. Like the 405 is just like, especially where I'm from, is a lot closer to it. It's a freeway I've driven like hundreds of times from my house to UCLA. I take the 405 from me to Hollywood. Well, like, sometimes when I go to school, I take the 405. So, like, I know what it's like to sit in that traffic, like, on the way to Santa Monica. Or because he's up in Calabasas. So, he... it's so cool thinking about, like, because he's in Calabasas, he can take Mulholland or, like, the 101 to the 405. And he says the 405. He doesn't say, I'd rather take 405. So, he's... At least he's reasonable in that regard.
Exactly.
Shade at NorCal people, but... But yeah, I really appreciate that it's like a very authentic LA song. It feels like, and it's definitely not like he's from LA originally, of course, because like he wouldn't say that either, because he's definitely proud to be Chicago and he's moving back. But the No More Parties in LA thing is just, I really like that vibe part of it. And then going back off of Breathe In, Breathe Out, the wordplay, there's one especially that I really like on this song. He says, when did I become A-list? I wasn't even on A-list. And so it took me a while to get that. But he's like, when did I become super A-list famous when I was never on, like, a single list? Like, I wasn't on any list.
How did I become A-list? I wasn't even on A-list. That's so funny.
And then another kind of play on words is he says, second-class women wouldn't let me on first base. And he's like, second at first. And, like, he's kind of talking about the older days. He talks about Louis Vuitton still has all of his pay stubs. I'm not exactly sure what a pay stub is, but I'm guessing, do you know what a pay stub is?
Yeah, so if you spend a lot of money, like, on a purse, like, for example, I would love a classic Chanel flap, and I would absolutely keep that pay stub, because that's about $3,000, and so it just proves that it's authentic, and that, it also shows, like, where it was made, and it's, like, I would probably frame it, to be honest, but that's just because... very extra, but the fact that Kanye keeps it's really
cool. He still remembers his roots and everything, which is really cool. And then there's a lot of Kanye references. He references himself a lot, which is like pure classic Kanye. He says a backpack brother with luxury taste buds, and like, of course, that's mentioning back to when he was, that's what he came on as, like a backpack, back polos and backpacks. And the luxury taste buds, apparently, like, so, because I think I was, like, probably six when he was first stepping on the scene, but he wore backpacks, and then he wore, like, designer and luxury shoes. He wasn't all about, like, Jordans and stuff like that. So, he'd wear, like, Louis Vuitton shoes, Margiela shoes. I think that's how you pronounce it. That's how it sounds like. You pronounce it in songs. But he was wearing stuff like that, and it was unique about him. And so, I like that he kind of, like, that whole section of the song is really touching back to his roots. And there's, like, a couple of other references where he says, I really love the line where he's like, I be worried about my daughter, I'm worried about Kim, but Saint is baby Ye. I ain't worried about him. And so, I don't know, I feel like that would be really cool when Saint, like, grows up and listens to it. It's like, I don't know, it just feels like, I don't want to be worried. It's not like a blessing, but a, like my son is strong, like, my son is a man, which is kind of, like, what Kanye is really about, like, being a man. And part of being a man, which is like the part of this song. I don't know, I'm looking for the word that it's like, it's such a holistic song. It talks about so many things. It's like fun, it's his history, and the real part of it where he says, I done got Lewinsky's and paid secretaries from my friends who have babies by women who use their kids as meal tickets. And so essentially, like, they're just using these men to get more kids so that they can get their welfare checks up. And then he says, not knowing the disconnect from the father, the next generation will be the real victims. Yeah. I was like, shoot, like, that's a real line.
Yeah.
About, like, the lack of fatherhood.
Yeah.
And, like, again, people who say Kanye doesn't care about social issues and isn't about that, like, this was 2016. And I know people say, but even, like, after the slavery comments and stuff, like, Kanye's been about this from the beginning, and he's still about that and everything. But anyways, I digress. But I really like that line. The flow of it, as I was reflecting on it, like, it's kind of choppy, like, the way that it sounds.
Yeah.
But there's a couple lines that just the flow is, like, insane. It's almost like it's some of his best flows. Where he's saying, like, some days I'm in my Yeezy, some days I'm in my Vans. If I know y'all made plans, I wouldn't have popped the Zans. And then he has another, oh, I love the part where he talks about his cars. And he says, I don't like driving the Rolls, but it took the Maybach 6 months to get matted out.
Yep.
And his assistant crashed it as soon as he backed it out. And then the I Might Slam, pink forgot Nori dressing like Cam. Do you know what he's referring to on Cam? So I believe it's either the rapper Cam'ron, I think, but I believe he's referring to, because this was, like, big in the news, was Cam Newton was wearing, like, big furs and stuff around the time.
Cam and Newton's from the Panthers, right?
Yeah, yeah, the quarterback for the Panthers
and
stuff.
Thank you, Zach, always talking about him.
Yeah, so I thought that was a really cool line, because I remember, like, because this was senior year of high school for me, and I was in Woodshop, and, like, I'd listen to this album and these songs, and, like, I remember just driving to baseball practice and having the song blaring. And singing along to that line, like, specifically. So, like, this song definitely has a lot of sentimental value in my heart.
That's awesome.
And towards the end of the song where he says, I feel like Pablo when I'm working on my shoes. I feel like Pablo when I see me on the news. I feel like Pablo when I'm working in my house. I'll get to the turbo thoughts part. I love that part. But it's cool because the life of Pablo is, like, the name of the album is going to be Waves. And what was it going to be before that? Do you remember?
Swish.
It was one of the trivia questions. Swish. Yeah. And so Life of Pablo is, like, kind of ambiguous as, like, who is Pablo?
Yeah.
But then there's Pablo Picasso, Pablo Escobar, and St. Pablo. And so Kanye kind of touches, I don't think he touches on St. Pablo in these. I think shoes and house are probably Pablo Picasso. And I like when he says, I see me on the news. Like, I thought that was a pretty cool one.
Yeah.
I think Pablo Escobar.
But
I think in him leaving it kind of ambiguous, kind of open about, like, Pablo means so many things because there's so many legendary characters named Pablo, is Kanye saying, like, I can rap, I've rapped, I've produced, I've made fashion, I own a, at this point he didn't, but Yeezy's like a $1 billion brand at this point. And so it's like, I am all these different things. I am not hood, because Pablo Escobar wasn't, like, hood. I feel like that's a unique, not an American thing, but, like, very, I'm a bit of a savage, what he's saying. Like,
yeah.
I know the streets. And then Pablo Picasso is like, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
And then Pablo, St. Pablo, he's like, I'm also a Christian, as he would say. And so I think that the character of Pablo represents him really well. And, like,
Absolutely.
Those shirts, I saw someone in the gym today with one of those, like, I feel like Pablo shirts.
And
I'm just like,
nice.
Those shirts are so cool.
They are.
Like, they're, I really like them. I didn't buy any merch when I saw him because, like, $90 for a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I will buy fake.
Yeah, my cousins didn't buy any merch from the show either.
One of my friends dropped almost like $200 on it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, the bars on this song, it's like, it's very fun, it's real, the flow is really good in some parts, features freaking Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And I want to touch on one of my favorite parts, one of my most hopeful parts, but maybe one of the parts Kanye wish he left out is where he said, I know some fans thought I wouldn't rap like this again, but the writer's block is over, MCs cancel your plans, 38 year old 8 year old rich person mm-hmm. with rich person problems or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, shoot. Like, Kanye's 38. He's got kids. He's got a wife. And, like, he can rap like this. Do you see how many bars are on these pages? It took me, like, half an hour to copy all this down. Like, Kanye still has the bars. Yeah. He's not giving it to us. Mm-hmm. And so, like, maybe he's like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Cause, but this gives me hope. Like, this in St. Pablo, like, Kanye can definitely get back to that. But I think in him being yay, Yandy's gonna sound different just because he wants to push music forward, which is like awesome. And like, we already have the song, we have old Kanye, I get it, but this is definitely something that I like really hold on to as a super beautiful song. And just how long the verse is, like, there's multiple parts where it could just easily ended. It's like a nice 45 second verse, 3 minute song, but no, it's like almost a 5 minute song, I think. His verse has to be, I was gonna clock it, I think it's about 2 minutes or so of just like bar, bar, bar. And then the beat changes up a little bit, and like it's an ending looking line, and then he just starts on a new subject and like keeps rapping and keeps rapping. And so this, Kanye had it. He has shown he has it. He still has it, I believe, the ability. Because this is my favorite Kanye for sure. It's got, I was looking at all my favorite categories on this song. It's authentic. It has wordplay. It's very clever. Kind of like on Breathe In, Breathe Out, especially. It's got a bunch of yay references. The flow is crazy in some parts. It's real. It talks about some social issues. The beat, the soul sample. Can you get more beautiful Kanye than a soul sample? And yeah, so in conclusion, I said that it's got the LA authenticity of like almost of like homecoming to Chicago in a sense, where this is almost like his LA song now that he's out here.
Nice.
I said it's got the references to himself, like Glory, because Glory, he references himself quite a bit. I said it has the bravado of Can't Tell Me Nothing.
Wow.
Where he says, oh, I think I have it here, but he says, I'm too, every agent I know I hate agents. I'm too black, I'm too vocal, I'm too flagrant. Like, would you want to be Kanye's agent? That'd be a hard job to have. And he says something smelling like poop. That's the new fragrance. It's just me. I do it my way. And he's like, yeah, I smell like poop. That's the new thing. That's what I do. Like, I'm Kanye. I'm going to sell bad smelling perfume. And like, that's the new fragrance, you know? Almost like the, I can stand in my Speedo and be looked at like a hero. It's like, whatever I do, like, it's going to be legendary no matter what. And he even says, like, every rumor you heard about me was true and legendary. And I love the story where he's talking about, like, it's just kind of like a little story inside that, like, flip-flops on himself. It's a little fun thing. Like, there's so much in this song. Says, I be thinking every day, Mulholland Drive, need to put up some barricades. I be paranoid every time. The problem is not that he's driving. The problem is that he's texting. Who's he texting? He's texting a psychiatrist whose kids that he inspired. And the first song they played for him was about their friend that just died, texting and driving down Mulholland Drive. So it's like, he's doing the same thing that his friends or his psychiatrist's sons were rapping about. And it's just like, it's probably not a real story, but it's like very clever in the way that he presents it.
Yeah.
And then he's like, that's why I'd rather take the 405. And then he switches. I'd be worried about my daughter, or worried about Kim. There's like so many topics he touches on this song. And even like him like admitting he is a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that before? And Kanye's on the social stuff. He knows that mental health needs to be talked about.
Yeah. Exactly. There should be no stigma around mental health or getting a psychiatrist.
Yeah. Like, I'm talking to my psychiatrist, which I think is very subtle in here. And like, he eventually has the really infamous mental breakdown is on the St. Pablo tour. So he talks about some unhealthy coping strategies, as in popping Xanax and stuff. Might have been a prescription Xan, so we don't know about that exactly. But anyways, Kanye touches on everything. He touches on social issues. I said it's like got the consciousness of, not quite, it's almost like some of the best things, a little bit of a bunch of different songs in this song. It's got some of the lines that are like as brilliant of a flow as Last Call. It's got some of the realness of All Falls Down, talking about some issues and stuff. And the beat is a classic Kanye-esque type beat. Like, this song is, how would you say, it's not a time capsule, but it's almost as if he's turning back the clock for a second. Because, you know, do you know who Dr. J is, the NBA player? So he was, like, super famous back in maybe the, I want to say 60s, 70s or so. He was, like, a street player, and he, like, was a crazy dunker, and he would do all kinds of crazy dunks. His name was Dr. J, speaking of doctors. But I was listening to a podcast, and, like, every year he goes out on his birthday and tries to dunk. And, like, he's still able to as of, like, 3 years ago when I heard this. And so I feel like this is Kanye, like, reminding, like, televising his annual, like, okay, I'm good. You guys know. Just respect me. Trust the process that I'm going through new stuff. I'm doing new things, but, like, this is pretty recent. Like, don't forget that I still got it, you know? Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, this song is just, it's top five Kanye for me. Might be top three around Last Call and Glory. I think it's just so full. So many things that you can dissect. Saint is baby Ye. Yeah, I just love that line so much. Yeah, there's just so many different things you can talk about. This talks about his wife, talks about social issues. It's just brilliant. I just love this song. Yeah. I love the way it sounds. I love how long it is. I love the meaning of it within the album. A nice closing song before he edited it and added. Wait, is this before Fade? It might be before Fade, but like towards the end of the album, I think he hides all the heavy hitters. So yeah, that's what I have to say about the life of, or No More Parties in L.A.
Wow, it was wonderful, John.
Wow, thank you. And, oh, I never mentioned the Turbo Thoughts.
Oh, talk about the Turbo Thoughts.
I don't even know what to talk about. I was, every time, I, like, the song just kind of, it's like, what? You just tell them, party's in here, no need to go out. We need those Turbo Thoughts, high-speed Turbo Thoughts. Drop it like RoboCop. Kanye, what is that?
Reference to Jesus.
Yeah, he's like, I'm really good. I still got that weird stuff in me, though. But yeah, I had to mention the, one of my favorite lines. I'm glad I came back to this. But he says, pink fur, got nowhere dressing like Cam. Thank God for me. That's one of the very bravado. Thank God for me.
I love that line.
Whole family getting money. Thank God for E. And that's E. I thought it was like some reference to Eazy-E or like Eazy-E providing for his family or something. But it's actually just E, the news network. Yeah. Because Kim's making money. Like, Kim probably almost has as much money as him, if not more.
Yeah.
It's like whole family getting money. Oh, I love the font. I like rockin' jewelry. A whole neck full. Women say he's funny and disrespectful. Yeah, just brilliance. Just pure brilliance all around on this song. No More Parties in L.A.
That was fantastic. I'm going to listen to that when I go home.
Yeah, I'm going to, too.
Love it. I love how it starts off, too. Just know it's going to be such a ride.
Can't stop loving it, man. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Good. Oh, thanks so much, John. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Yeah, really hoped you enjoyed the analysis part. I know that's something that we both really love doing.
Oh, yeah, as English majors. And where can we find this podcast, Adriana?
Ooh, so we are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. SoundCloud. And if you want to go to my website that I purchased for like a dollar, like literally GoDaddy was like, okay, so I don't think they're listening. Or maybe they are, I don't know. But like, I literally was like talking about like, oh, I like would love to buy a website. And then like, or like a domain. And then an advertisement on Instagram was like, GoDaddy domains for $1.
That's how it be.
Okay, fine. It's like, I purchased a website for us. So KanyeConversations.com.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you, Adriana, for the brilliant analysis. Oh,
thank you for your brilliant analysis. And this has been
Kanye Conversations.
Ooh, nice.